Really excited to have Bill Barnwell join us each and every Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's his segment, and we're blessed to have him. Bill, good afternoon. Crazy times. Cam Newton, positive COVID-19. This game now, the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs, scheduled for either Monday or Tuesday. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, something's changed with the NFL. I mean, last week, right at this time, Friday testing, Falcons got the news on Saturday about A.J. Terrell, one of their starting cornerbacks who tested positive. Because there were no other positives, the Falcons then played the game against the Bears on Sunday. Of course, they lost because their secondary couldn't hold up late in that game. And you don't want to say it would have been different if A.J. Terrell had been there, but obviously an impact on the game. This week we're seeing with Cam Newton testing positive at the same time. Patriots found out this morning from what it sounds like. We're seeing the league change their policy. We're seeing the game get pushed back to Tuesday, even though no other Patriots have tested positive. And so I think that's really fascinating, you know, whether it's because the Patriots have to travel, whereas the Falcons don't, whether it's because of the breakout in Tennessee, where we've had an outbreak where now, I believe almost 10 people, if I'm not mistaken, have tested positive, or whether it's just because it's a quarterback, whether it's someone, you know, because it's a famous player in Cam Newton, who's a star of the league, as opposed to, you know, a rookie cornerback. It's hard to say, but certainly it seems like the NFL, is taking this one more seriously, maybe, when they took the Falcons COVID positive test last week.
It's very interesting, and it's a great debate to have, because a lot of people feel that, you know, well, actually, some people feel that the Patriots do get are favored and get, you know, different treatment than other teams in the NFL. But I think you make an excellent point. Listen, I've always said this, like, you know, the way you kill the snake is cut off the head. And on an NFL team, quarterback is the head of the snake. And it's, in my opinion, it's the most important position, not just in the NFL, but to me, it's the most important position in all professional sport. It really is. And so I think you make an excellent point, you know, for folks that, for Atlanta Falcons fans that might be upset about this decision. I had a Pittsburgh Steelers fan call in not too long ago, Bill, and is upset that the game wasn't postponed until Monday or Tuesday and moved until week seven, which I disagree with. I get that, you know, it's not always great to have your bye week on week four. It's always best to have your bye week sometime around 8 or 9. So you have that, like, that legit break in the middle of the season. But nonetheless, you know, if I'll be honest with you, if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers player, I'm a little nervous to take on any Tennessee Titan because of the outbreak, and it's a pretty dominant one that has taken over that team and that roster. So your thoughts on how the NFL handled the Steelers and the Titans, Bill?
I think they were hopeful, and maybe hopeful isn't the best way to approach this. But it's worked for them so far. I mean, the NFL has certainly been proud that there's been so few positive tests. And I think maybe they were hoping that there weren't going to be as many tests, that there would just be a couple tests positive in Tennessee and that would be it. Obviously, that has not turned out to be the case. I think if you're a Steelers player, I mean, think about what that's like, because you're preparing for a game and you don't know whether the NFL is going to move it back a day or two, like we saw at the Patriots game. We don't know if they're going to push it back to week 8. We don't know if it's going to be canceled. You know, the bye week for players, whether it's week 4, week 8, week 12, whenever it is, you know, you have to rest. The whole point is to, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally rest, get a week off, and then come back into practice and be refreshed for whatever is left in your season. And now, for the Steelers, they basically started practicing for this game, not knowing what they were going to do. And then now they're sort of rushed into a week off, and then they play the rest of the season straight through. And I know, Mike Tomlin has said, hey, we're just going to deal with it. I think that's, you know, unfortunately, the only attitude you can really have towards it. But obviously, you know, I do think that there has to be some kind of philosophy and some kind of policy. I don't know if there's a number. I don't know if there's a day or a cutoff day where you say, hey, you know, if you're not totally healthy by this day, we're going to postpone the game. I advocated earlier this week for basically the league to push back the playoffs a week and have sort of a, you know, a week 18 where you can take any game that's postponed, any game that's suspended, and push that game into week 18 in the hopes that, you know, we do have only one game postponed for each possible team. And that might not be possible, but I think that's maybe the best solution, because I think the way the league's treated the Steelers, even if it wasn't, you know, in an attempt to be malicious or an attempt to be aggressive, it turned out to be a very frustrating case for them.
Interesting. Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Bill, let's dive into what happened with the Jets on Thursday night. They're 0-4, and listen, I can understand and see them losing to the Bills and the 49ers, the Colts, but I think there was some hope and some expectation that they would beat a Denver Broncos team at home against a third string quarterback and a team that was dealing with some injuries. I mean, Cortland Sutton is done, no Von Miller. The expectation was there, and they fell flat on their face. Your thoughts on the Jets and their season so far, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, as a gambler, I know sort of the public can get very negative on teams, very positive on teams. When things are going right for a team, everyone wants to bet on them. When a team is not going well, everyone wants to bet against them. And the Jets are playing poorly. Are they the worst team in football? I do think so. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's not maybe as bad as it seems. And I think part of it is injuries as opposed to, you know, having the wrong players or having the wrong situation. But at the end of the day, you know, this is not something that's brand new. You know, it's not as if the Jets expected to be great this year and are struggling. This is a problem that has been in place for years now. I mean, I went back and I tweeted, all the Jets drafts from 2010 to, I think, 2017. I mean, there's maybe one or two players left on this roster. And you know, it just has been years of neglect. It's been years of poor decision making. It's been years of Band-Aid fixes and free agency to try and solve problems. And you can't build a team that way. You know, you just can't. And so I think at the end of the day, we're seeing here an organization that made bad choices in the draft, that made a bad choice when it came to their head coach. And I think most people would agree with me on that. I don't think you can say anything about Joe Douglas yet because of his first round pick, Mekhi Becton, looked great. But, you know, as an organization, how do you allow Mekhi Becton, your star left tackle, your rookie left tackle, who's looked great this year, to go in the game when he's hurt? And I understand that he wants to play. I believe that he wanted to play in that game. But your job as an organization is to think about the long term and think about, you know, your rookie player's health. And you can't let him in that game. It's just not something you can do for a player who's going to be hopefully part of your franchise for the next 8 or 9 seasons. So, you know, I feel bad for Jets fans. It was not a fun watch. You know, I think with Sam Darnold, we have no information, no insight into how good he is. I mean, obviously we see plays where he looks great and plays where he looks awful, sometimes even in the same half of football. And there's so little around him, especially with Becton hurt now, that I just don't think this is meaningful information. I think this is a terrible football team, but I think it would have been a bad football team, you know, under most circumstances.
You know, the I call them the brainiacs, the wise guys, the fellows that are a lot more intelligent than I, who put together the FPI percentage ratio, heading into that Thursday night game, had the Giants at 29.3% and the Jets at 19.3% of getting the number one overall pick. I call it the Trevor Lawrence, sweepstakes. you know, Bill, based on what you've seen, from both the Jets and the Giants and Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold, if either of those teams, if you're the executive, if you're the general manager of either of those teams and you have the number one pick and you know that either you can draft Trevor Lawrence or keep the quarterback you have right now and possibly get 3 first-round draft picks, that's what the majority of general managers are anticipating. You know, that's what the cost will be to move up to one to get Trevor Lawrence, is 3 first-round draft. What do you do, Bill?
I think it depends. And I think part of it's going to depend on who's actually making those picks. I mean, for the Jets, you know, you figure Joe Douglas is still going to have his job at the end of the year. I don't think he's going to get blamed for this. I don't think he should get blamed for this. And Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold now is at the point where we're close to having to decide whether to pay him on a long-term contract. So for me, I think Sam Darnold is no hindrance. I think you make that move if you think Trevor Lawrence is a franchise quarterback. For the Giants, you know, is Dave Gettleman going to make this pick? That's much more up in the air for me than Joe Douglas. And I think with Dave Gettleman, you know, he's someone who did draft Daniel Jones. He is tied to Daniel Jones. He does think Daniel Jones is the future of the franchise. I think Daniel Jones has played poorly this year. I think, again, injuries, opt-outs have come into play. But, you know, Sam Darnold being, you know, through what now? Who done only 3 full seasons at the end of this year versus 2 for Daniel Jones? That might be the difference. And for the Giants, you know, I think if you think Daniel Jones is still a pretty good quarterback or you don't have enough information to say, I think you're more inclined to take that sort of massive haul for 3 first-round picks because both these teams need the help. But I think for the Jets, they're closer to moving on from Darnold than the Giants would be in moving on from Daniel Jones.
And there's some talk and speculation that as much as Adam Gase is on the hot seat, Bill, so is Dave Gettleman. So it could be a situation where the Giants move on from Gettleman and hire a new general manager, as where the Jets will move on from Adam Gase and hire a new head coach. It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. In regards to the Giants, they head out west to take on a Rams team who I can't give enough credit to Sean McVay and the way that he's got this offense just rolling right now. A lot of 12 personnel, a lot of play action. Goff has got a 1.35 QB rating in play action. I think this Rams team is just too much for this Giants team to handle. It's the biggest spread on the docket for week four. You've got a Rams team that's favored by 13. How do you see this game playing out?
I mean, I don't know if I'd want to lay the 13, but I do feel like the Rams are heavy favorites and should be in this game. I mean, the Rams actually, one of the things we discovered that I actually mentioned on Sky Fan Pelt's show this week is the Bills' defense. Just maybe just something to file away for the future. Second best defense in the league since the start of 2019 when teams don't use play action. 26th in passer rating allowed when teams do use play action. The Rams, of course, the most play action heavy team in football. Something to just file away for the Bills. But anyway, the Giants Rams, I don't see the Giants playing very well in this game on the defensive side of the football. I think the defense actually maybe has exceeded expectations heading into this week, but this is a defense that's missing starters, that the pass rush has been inconsistent. The linebackers are, you know, guys you can exploit. We saw that in the Niners game, where the Niners are playing, you know, not their best players by any means. You know, they lost players to injury during the game, but, you know, especially early in that contest, especially throughout the contest, I would say, actually, you know, the Niners had no trouble moving the ball on the Giants. And these are not identical offenses, but they do share a lot of similarities and have two play callers who are, you know, ahead of the curve in Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. So I do think that, you know, it's a tough matchup. And maybe if the Giants had a healthy complement of players on offense, I'd be more confident they could maybe hold up in a shootout, maybe even win a shootout. You know, we saw Daniel Jones win some shootouts last year, but I think that's a big ask. So unless Jared Goff has a bad game, unless he, you know, throws away two interceptions, the Giants can, you know, win the turnover battle unexpectedly, that would give them a shot, but I really don't see that happening.
Again, Bill Barnwell joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Bill, before I let you go, probably the game I was most looking forward to was New England and Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, I had New England +7, by the way. So what you know, now with what's remaining, and of course Tennessee and Pittsburgh is out as well, what's the one game you're most looking forward to this week?
That's a good question. Let me think.
It's kind of lackluster, right? Like it's kind of like you've got all these interesting storylines, but none really that probably my favorite bet is the Miami Dolphins and Seattle Seahawks over 54. Yeah. I think a ton of points are going to be put. That's and it's probably my favorite bet heading into week four. So obviously, you know, I'm going to be watching that game, but I mean, what, Cleveland, Dallas? There's no game that grabs me and it's like, oh, that's a must watch.
Okay, I think two games come to mind, and I think Cleveland, Dallas is one of them because, I mean, the Cowboys have looked very inconsistent this year. My offense obviously very effective, but the defense not all that great. If the Browns win this game in Dallas, they're 3-1. You know, for a team that was sort of a laughing stock after week one, to have them be 3-1, that's exciting. You know, that could be a really fascinating situation. And then I think Eagles, Niners, you know, the Niners, of course, a team that is so banged up with injuries, but the Eagles are a mess right now. You know, they're 0-2-1. They barely tied with the Bengals last week. The idea of them going 0-3-1, falling back in the East and having, you know, really, maybe not a must win game, but a really, really would be nice to win this game against the Niners. You know, I feel like I really want to see what Doug Peterson pulls out, because he's had three different game plans for three different weeks. None of them have worked. Their offense is so beat up. You know, I really want to see if they can compete, because if they can't, I mean, you know, the NFC East, by the way, like, it's still wide open. Anybody can win this division. So not a good division, but I think a division that could be, you know, really fascinating if the Cowboys lose and the Eagles lose this week.
Interesting. By the way, Jason Peters is now heading to IR. Yeah. So not even sure what the Eagles are going to do at left tackle heading into this game. It's really, really, really unbelievable. Bill, always a pleasure having you on. Always look forward to my Saturday afternoons with you. Thank you so much. Enjoy week four.
Of course, Anita. You as well.